What's up, Reds fans? How are you doing on this Phone It In Friday? I'm your host, Jeff Carr, your bench jackie with a beer. Thanks so much for downloading and listening to the Locked On Reds podcast. Just a reminder, if you haven't already, please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher, and also check us out at LockedOnReds.com. Today, I'm calling it Phoning In Friday, not necessarily because I'm phoning in this performance, but I want to keep it to try and get an interview each and every week on Friday, and I figured it'd just be kind of fun to call it Phone It In Friday. So today, for the first ever Phone It In Friday on the Locked On Reds podcast, we have the OG, the man who started the Locked On Reds podcast, James Rapine, joins me via Skype. Got a lot to talk about, catching you up on what he's up to up in Cleveland, his new job covering the Cavaliers and the Indians. And of course, we'll talk Reds too. So enjoy this interview with James and myself here on Locked On Reds. Also, quick apology, the audio quality is not that great. I'm still learning how to do this whole Skype interview thing, but enjoy the interview nonetheless. It's got a lot of great content in there. Had a great conversation with James.
So what's it like covering an NBA team? I know you've been an NBA fan all your life, but obviously Cincinnati doesn't have one. So how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, it's different. I love the NBA. It's probably my favorite sport, that or football. Covering an NBA team is certainly different than covering the other teams, you know, the other professional sports I've covered. Obviously the Bengals and Reds in Cincinnati. It's good. Here's the problem is right now, Cavaliers fans, they're just hoping Zion is the guy, right? They're right. Hoping that the ping pong balls can fall their way. It'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I'm excited. And I'm excited for the future because I think if the Cavs do win the draft lottery, that they could be back to relevancy sooner rather than later.
And then also the other team that you cover up there in Cleveland, the Indians, what is the vibe around that team? I know they've been making moves, kind of trading some guys away. What's the vibe that you're getting from Indians fans and from the organization?
That to me, and I've gotten this question a lot, the biggest shock to me coming up here, and it's just, you know, you cover the Reds, you cover the Bengals, and you hear, all right, well, they're cheap or they're this or they're that. And absolutely, but let me ask you, do you view the Indians as cheap?
I wouldn't think so.
See, and that to me, that's how they're viewed up here. They're viewed as a lot like Mike Brown's viewed.
Really?
Like I've gotten a lot of, oh, the Dolans are cheap, they'll never go for it, blah, blah, blah. And some of it makes sense. You know, they traded CC Sabathia, you know, over a decade ago, Cliff Lee, all that stuff. At the same time, I think they're the best-run organization in the city. I mean, outside of LeBron James going to the Cavs, outside of the Browns just finally figuring it out, it seems, the Indians have been pretty consistent. So I was really shocked at how fans view the Indians. And sorry, I'm out of breath. I just walked up steps. But, yeah, I was shocked about that. And it's, to me, I think the Indians, and I know we're going to get to this, but I think the Indians have put themselves in a good spot this offseason to potentially improve. And I'm interested to see how they do so. So I've been shocked at the fan reaction. I do know that the Indians need to make more moves. It'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, I know on Twitter they were really kind of lamenting the Edwin Encarnacion trade, almost as if like, ah, same old Indians, just like trading Manny, trading all those big guys.
They were. There's a lot of unknown right now. But if you're picking one Cleveland franchise to trust, it's not the Browns. They haven't been good since they returned in 99. It's not the Cavaliers. They haven't been good without LeBron James. It is the Cleveland Indians. And that to me is going to be interesting. Do they trade Corey Kluber? I think with every passing day, it becomes more likely that he's a Cleveland Indian next year. It becomes more likely that Trevor Bauer is a Cleveland Indian next year. So it'll be interesting which way they go there. To me, if I'm the Indians, I might just say, you know what, our weakest spots are outfield, our weakest spots are relief pitching. There's a lot of relievers out there. Let's go get some relievers in free agency that can help us next year. Let's add maybe an outfielder or two in free agency. and let's compete next year. We've already gotten younger. We've already shed some salary. And let's keep the best starting rotation in baseball, and that's how I view it, intact for 2019. That's how I lean, but I also understand if they get an offer they can't refuse. Let's say from the Reds, and I've tossed this out there on Twitter, the Nick Senzel and Russell Iglesias type deal, where you get both guys, then you certainly have to entertain that if you're the Indians and probably do it. So I think the Indians are in a good spot, even though fans are kind of down on them at this point.
For sure. And talking about, you mentioned that with every passing day, and I kind of agree with you about Corey Kluber. It seems like it was the hot rumor going into the winter meetings, and then just nothing really happened. And now with as time progresses, it seems like they will keep him. But the big question that all Reds fans have is, when are they trading Corey Kluber to the Reds? But you know, specifically like with Matt Kemp, I know there were some rumors maybe the Reds might throw him into some kind of a deal. If Matt Kemp were added into that package for Kluber, would it be something where you take Senzel out, maybe put in like, I don't know, Trammell or Hunter Green or maybe even Jonathan India? Or, you know, how would you view that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Indians, Hunter Green, you absolutely would have to listen, right? If Hunter Green's coming back. Taylor Trammell's interesting. You just wonder, is that a guy who can help the Indians? And they certainly need help in the outfield. Can he help in 2019? If not, yeah, you had Matt Kemp in there, but you're also adding a bunch of salary for 1 year. So is that worth it for 1 year of Matt Kemp? To me, if I'm the Indians, I need a lot. I need a lot for Kluber. So I would want Senzel. Or Green, right? And if you're the Reds, you don't want to give up Iglesias because he's the key. If you get a guy like Corey Kluber, you're trying to win now. You're not trying to win years from now. You're trying to win in 2019. So that means you need your closer. That means you're going to keep Russell Iglesias. So it's a tough spot. I don't know if it's a match with the Reds and the Indians. As fun as it would be for me personally to see that happen, I'm not sure if it's a match, but I do get the interest in both sides of it. For a deal to get done, because it's not a match, it's not obvious, you know, it's not going to be Taylor Trammell, Matt Kemp, and Jonathan Eady. I don't think that that's enough. I really don't, because Matt Kemp is on a one-year deal, and the other two guys are just prospects. And if the Indians trade Corey Kluber for just prospects, people here are going to be very angry, and I don't blame them. I think that this... they probably don't get a deal done between the two just because I don't think it matches up because the Reds aren't going to be willing to give what the Indians want and the Indians aren't going to be willing to settle for what the Reds want to give up. So it's an interesting spot for both organizations, but I don't see the match. But you're right. You know, if the Indians are willing to bend a little and take Matt Kemp's salary on and maybe take Jonathan India instead of Nick Senzel, then you might see it happen. But as of now, I would say it's not going to.
And that makes sense, too. And actually, kind of what you lend your, you know, you were saying about, like, you would personally love to see it. That kind of segue into the next question I had for you is, what was your immediate reaction? I know you didn't get a chance to record a Locked On Reds podcast after it happened, but what was your immediate reaction to the Reds trade with the Dodgers?
It was like, whoa, there's some fireworks, right? It was exciting. It's the one thing I got when I decided to move to Cleveland and announce the move, the biggest thing I got was, wow, at least you get to cover a real Major League Baseball team. And I'm not taking a shot at Cincinnati, but to me is sad because the Reds should be a real Major League Baseball team. The Reds, when they're good, the city is so much more fun. It is just... And it's just been awful to be a Reds fan over the past couple of years. So the fact that the Reds moved on from Billy Hamilton, and that's something ownership had gotten in the way of previous years. And then they use that as part of the way to lead them to this. They use that money. They use that salary. And they do this, and they make a big deal. They make a big splash. I like it a lot, especially because you're talking about giving up Homer Bailey and some prospects. You know how many times Reds fans have had to hear about prospects? They're tired of hearing about prospects. I'm tired of talking about prospects. It's really, it's annoying to talk about, oh, yeah, well, the future, they have this seventh top prospect in the – and I get it. The guys that they gave up might be good down the line. But the fact that you're showing fans, yeah, we got Matt Kemp, an all-star. We got Yasiel Puig, an all-star. We got a starting pitcher who was an all-star and it can help us next year. I think it just did wonders for the Q rating, for the way the fans view the organization, for the way the fans view the Reds. I don't think the Reds are extremely better. Like, I don't think that they're suddenly a 90-win team now, but they're certainly more interesting. And fans would have loved for this team to be interesting over the past couple of years, and they are now. And I think they're going to continue to make moves. I really do. I don't know exactly what that is, but I think they're going to make another move or two and try to compete next year. And that might be foolish. Looking down the line, that might be foolish. But as of now, I would much rather interesting than rebuilding, and the Reds are interesting.
We're going to take a quick break for a few ads, but don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more Reds talk on the way with James Rapine and your host, myself, Jeff Carr, here on the Locked On Reds podcast. You're listening to the Locked On Reds podcast. Now back to our Phone It In Friday interview with James Rapine.
And of the available, like kind of what you said, trying to add a little bit more of the available guys out there on the market, who do you think is the kind of guy that the Reds are actually going to bring in and be an ace? Because as much as I love to see Dallas Keuchel be the guy, it really seems like all the rumors are leaning toward someone else.
Yeah, you're right. And so if it's not Dallas Keuchel, do you continue to add starting pitching? Or here's the other thing. What if you do trade for Corey Kluber? What if you do trade for a starting pitcher, and you give up one of those outfielders? Maybe it isn't Matt Kemp. Maybe instead the Indians want Jesse Winker, right? Yeah. And I think the Reds are certainly willing to part ways with Jesse Winker. I don't think they view him as high as the fans do. I think he's highly regarded among fans. I'm not sure Jesse Winker is going to be a Red next year. So let's say you can move Jesse Winker. Let's say you can move, Taylor Trammell and Nick Senzel, and that somehow gets you Corey Kluber. And I get it. You have three outfielders, Schebler, Puig, and Kemp, but there's no clear-cut center fielder. Do you go after A.J. Pollock? Do you go after an outfielder that can help you over the next year or two? That to me, would be interesting. And the other thing, kind of lingering over the Reds, is what if they decide to keep Nick Senzel and instead just trade Scooter Gennett away and put Senzel? Because now you have a bunch of outfielders. So Senzel playing the outfield, probably not getting everyday reps, everyday at-bats, etc. So maybe you opt to put Senzel at second base, trade Scooter Gennett. So I think those are some things to keep an eye on. I think the Reds like Scooter Gennett. I think they'd like to keep him, especially in this win-now mode. But they seem open for business, which is not something that I could have said a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and that's been the most encouraging thing for me, is just the feeling that they can move anybody at any time. Like, it seems like Bob Castellini, you know, for all the rumors that he had his paws on everything, it seems like he's kind of taken them off and let the front office, you know, breathe.
Yeah, and he should. Look, that's, you hire people to do what? To do their jobs. As an owner, you're the owner. So why don't you own the team? Let your general manager, your president of baseball operations do theirs. And the other thing, and they haven't really been in the mix as of late, according to reports, is Real Muto. They decide to trade Tucker Barnhart in a deal wherever, and they go after the Marlins prospect. I think the Reds are probably kicking themselves for not going after Christian Yelich last year. Because right now, if you could give up Nick Senzel and Taylor Trammell for, you know, Christian Yelich, you'd do it right now and laugh at the Marlins for taking that deal. And I don't know if that was something the Marlins were interested in or not, but it's certainly something that the Reds should have been interested in. So maybe that's where the Reds, they're going to continue to look down that path. I can see it happening, even though they haven't been rumored to be discussing anything with the Marlins recently.
Exactly. And that would be amazing if that did happen. And James, I appreciate your time, man. I thank you for coming on. I got one last softball for you. Has the Skyline Knee Replace put the James Special on the menu?
you want to know something? I've been back and forth from Cincinnati and Cleveland about four times since I moved up here at the beginning of December. Fiance is still in Cincinnati. Obviously, family's still in Cincinnati with the holidays and everything like that. So she moves up here. I'm going to visit a bunch. And I've only had Skyline at Cincinnati. I haven't had time while in Cleveland, and obviously I'm working a ton trying to sure. get acclimated, get everything down. I haven't had Skyline in Cleveland yet. So I've had Skyline a lot since I've left, but every single time it's been in Cincinnati. So it's been interesting. So no, they haven't yet. But we totally got to get the three-way and two Cholitos on the menu. I think Skyline should sponsor me up here, and I should be the Cleveland Skyline guy. It would make a ton of sense. Have that endorsement down there. And I think that should be something that we look into up here. So that's a good idea. I'm going to look into that, Jeff.
All right, that's the awesomest way to expand the brand. So, but right. really appreciate you coming on, man. I definitely let you go here, and thanks again. Hopefully, we'll have you on here in the near future.
Absolutely. Anytime, if the Indians and Reds agree to a trade, have me on. If not, you just want to talk some Reds baseball, I'm in as well. I love talking Reds. I love talking Cincinnati. And here's the funny part. Jeff, I've been joking around about the Hugh Jackson to the Bengals thing, and Cincinnati fans are getting so mad at me, and I don't think they realize I'm just joking. Like, I want the Bengals to do well. I want the Reds to do well. Like, I was there in Cincinnati for 27 years, over 27 years. You think I just all of a sudden hate the Bengals? And it's so funny, some of these people on Twitter, they get so mad, and it's just a joke, and I hope they realize that. But, yeah. I appreciate you having me. Have me on anytime, and I'm glad you. You're the new host of this podcast, man. It's in good hands. If you're just listening to Locked On Reds, subscribe to it. Jeff's got you covered.
That was an awesome interview with James. He did a great job. Really appreciate his time. New Year's resolution: the audio quality will be better for our future Phone It In Fridays. Can promise you that. But I appreciate you listening to this episode of the Locked On Reds podcast. Just like James said, subscribe iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Also check us out at lockedonreds.com. We'll have more for you next week. Guys, have a great weekend. You've been listening to the Locked On Reds podcast.